Welcome back to the Kurdish Research Audio Archive. Today we're looking into something really fascinating and maybe a bit overlooked sometimes, the relationship between Kurds and Christianity.
It's definitely a topic with layers.
Yeah, we've got some in-depth reports, historical analyses, recent news articles too. We want to explore those historical links, the emergence of Kurdish Christians today, and, you know, the challenges involved.
Right. The goal is really to pull out the key things from this material, make sense of it for you, and hopefully shed some light on what's quite a complex picture.
Absolutely. And maybe before we jump into the Christianity aspect specifically, we should quickly set the scene. Talk about the Kurds more broadly.
Good idea. So the Kurds, a major ethnic group in the Middle East, right, living in that region, often called Kurdistan.
Which spans parts of Turkey, Iran, Iraq, Syria, mountainous area.
In a long history of seeking autonomy, that's key. Mm-hmm. And while most Kurds today are Muslim, it's crucial to remember the religious diversity there.
Definitely. There have historically been Christian communities, Jewish communities too, and of course ancient faiths like Yazidism, Yarsinism.
Exactly. That whole diverse backdrop is really important for understanding this specific story about Christianity among Kurds.
Okay, so let's get into those historical connections then. Where does the story start?
Well, the evidence suggests Christianity might have reached Kurdish areas surprisingly early, possibly even the first century AD.
The first century? Wow.
There are traditions, you know, linking early evangelization to the Apostle Andrew. Some accounts even mention Medes, who some Kurds see as ancestors being there at Pentecost.
Interesting. Though you mentioned traditions, so perhaps some legendary elements there.
Oh, for sure. Those very early accounts might blend history and legend, but they do point towards some kind of early interaction, you know, between Christianity and the people living in those Kurdish highlands way before Islam arrived.
Okay, so interaction before Islam. Is there anything more concrete from those early centuries?
Yes, we do have some more specific accounts. For instance, a Kurdish ruler named Turdad supposedly converting around 338 AD.
Okay.
And there's mention of sun-worshipping Kurds converting in the 5th century. Mm-hmm. Plus, just look at the geography.
Right, Kurdistan is right there next to early Christian centers in Mesopotamia and Syria.
Exactly. So it makes sense that there would have been encounters. Christianity probably wasn't a completely unknown thing there before the Islamic conquest.
So a presence, perhaps small, but earlier than many might think.
Precisely.
Hannah the Chai Lady is here. Rirvash Hannah.
Ah, perfect timing. Chai.
Let's see what we've got today. Pause. This chai. The color looks really good today. Nice and deep. Smells quite strong, too. Let's have a taste. Oops. Oh, yeah. That's good. That hits the spot. Not bitter. Good sweetness. Hannah, excellent work today. Just what we needed.
Smells wonderful from here.
Short pause. Okay, that's better. Nice little pause.
Right.
Where were we?
We were talking about that early Christian presence before Islam became dominant.
Yes. So Islam arrives from the 7th century onwards. How did that change things for Christians in Kurdish areas?
Well, Islam gradually became the main religion among Kurds, no doubt. But those established Christian communities, they were generally considered people of the book.
Right. So they had a protected status to some extent.
Yes. They were usually allowed to practice their faith, though under certain conditions and restrictions. But even so, the Christian population did decline over the centuries.
It wasn't a complete disappearance, though. I think our sources mentioned something interesting here.
No, definitely not a complete disappearance. And interestingly, there were cases of Kurds actually converting to Christianity even during Islamic rule.
Really? Even then?
Yeah, like in the 9th century, there was a Kurdish military guy, Nazir. He converted to Orthodox Christianity, became a Byzantine commander named Theophobos. Quite prominent.
Wow.
And then in the 10th century, another figure, a Kurdish prince, Ibn Attahak. He also left Islam for Orthodox Christianity, got support from the Byzantines for a while, though he was later executed.
So these examples, maybe not huge numbers, but they show Christianity didn't just vanish among Kurds.
Exactly. It shows a continued, if small, Christian element. And even much later, like the 13th century, Marco Polo mentioned some Kurds near Mosul were still Christian.
That persistence is quite striking, isn't it, through all those shifts?
It really is. It suggests that despite Islam becoming dominant, Christianity survived in certain pockets, maybe certain families or communities.
So what happened to these communities over the really long term? Did they maintain a distinct Kurdish Christian identity?
Well, that's where it gets complicated. Because they were often quite isolated from the Muslim majority, These Christian Kurds tended to build closer relationships with the larger Christian groups nearby.
Like Armenians, Georgians, Syriacs, Assyrians, Chaldeans, those Aramean-speaking groups.
Exactly. And this closeness led to a degree of assimilation, both linguistically and liturgically. Aramaic, for example, became the religious language for many Kurdish converts, especially those linked to the Church of the East.
Ah, so the language of worship changed for many.
Right. And this whole process kind of blurred the ethnic lines over time. It means someone identifying as Assyrian today might have Kurdish roots from way back, or vice versa.
I see.
There are even historical reports, like from the late 19th century, talking about Kurdish tribes thought to be originally Armenian, who still held on to some Christian practices.
So several factors combined, though. Pressure to convert to Islam, being isolated, and the cultural influence of bigger Christian groups.
All likely contributed to making a distinct ethnic Kurdish Christian identity less visible over the centuries. It sort of merged into the broader Christian landscape of the region.
That makes sense. It shows how identities can shift and merge, especially for minorities.
Absolutely. The religious identity, often tied to these larger church structures and Aramaic liturgy, perhaps overshadowed the specific Kurdish ethnic identity in many cases.
Okay, that's a really important historical perspective. Now let's shift gears to the situation today. Our sources suggest most Kurdish Christians now aren't directly descended from those ancient communities.
That's generally right. The majority we see today are more recent converts, mainly coming from Muslim or Yazidi backgrounds.
And what's been driving these more recent conversions?
Several things seem to be at play. After the Soviet Union collapsed, for instance, there was a wave of conversions among Yazidi Kurds, especially in places like Armenia and Georgia.
Okay, that's one factor.
Then, much more recently and tragically, the ISIS genocide against the Yazidis, starting in 2014. That led to more conversions among Yazidi refugees, particularly in the Kurdistan region of Iraq. Often, missionary groups were involved in facilitating this.
A response to extreme trauma and violence.
It seems so. And we also see reports of conversions from Islam, especially among younger Kurds, in northern Iraq, and also in the Kurdish-run areas of Syria, Rojava.
So conversions happening across different regions and from different backgrounds seems linked to major upheavals.
Very much so. The Soviet collapse, the ISIS atrocities, these are huge traumatic events. And periods like that can definitely lead people to question old certainties and explore new identities, including religious ones.
What about the individual motivations? Why are people converting? The sources mentioned a few possibilities.
Yeah, it's usually a mix of things, quite complex. For some, it's disillusionment with Islam, maybe linked to extremist violence, or sometimes perceived connections between political Islam and anti-Kurdish policies.
That makes sense as a factor.
Others talk about being genuinely drawn to Christian teachings or having personal spiritual experiences. Some might see Christian groups as offering more tolerance or perhaps feel in alignment with Western values.
So a range from spiritual searching to reactions against negative experiences.
Definitely. And we should also acknowledge, as some sources do, that sometimes more practical or instrumental motivations might be involved, like a belief, perhaps mistaken, that converting could help with immigration.
Right, that possibility exists too.
It's likely a complex web for each individual. But the timing of the increase in conversions, often following these major crises, does suggest a link between trauma and a new openness to different religious paths for some.
It's a really interesting intersection of personal belief, politics, and trauma. Now, what about the churches themselves? Are these new converts joining the old Orthodox or Church of the East traditions?
Mostly not, actually. While those historical links are there, the majority of modern converts seem to be joining evangelical Protestant denominations.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
It probably reflects the increased activity of evangelical missionary groups in Kurdish areas, especially since the early 2000s. We hear about churches like the Kurdsman Church of Christ in Erbil, or the Al-Aqwa Evangelical Church in Kobani, Syria, or a Protestant church in Diyarbakir, Turkey.
So, primarily evangelical Protestantism. Are other groups present?
Yes, Catholicism also has a historical footprint and might be growing too. And interestingly, among the Yazidi converts, particularly in Georgia, some have joined the Georgian Orthodox Church. There was the ordination of a Yazidi-backed monk, Monk Manai, in 2023, which was quite significant.
It really sounds like a diverse and changing religious scene. I imagine getting accurate numbers on Kurdish Christians is really difficult.
Oh, incredibly difficult. You've got the sensitivity around conversion itself, especially from Islam. Often there's no official way to register a change in religion, or people don't want to. Then there's the ongoing assimilation issue we talked about. Plus, census data in the region is often unreliable anyway.
So estimates are probably quite rough.
Very rough. Usually localized and showing small numbers. It underlines that overall, Christianity is still a very tiny minority within the Kurdish population. The Joshua Project, for instance, puts Christian adherence at less than 0.3% for most Kurdish subgroups.
Given those small numbers and the regional context, they must face some real challenges, especially the converts.
Absolutely. Converts from Islam, in particular, can face really severe social consequences. Ostracization from family, harassment, threats. Even violence is reported because of views on apostasy.
That sounds incredibly tough. What about converts from Yazidism?
They can also face being disowned by their community, which is traditionally very tight-knit and closed. And then there's the state level.
How does that vary across Kurdistan?
It varies quite a bit. In Iran, converts face systematic persecution, basically denial of rights. In Turkey, the atmosphere of religious nationalism puts pressure on all non-Muslims, and converts face family and community pressure, plus bureaucratic problems. And Turkish military actions in Syria have unfortunately targeted both Kurds and Christians.
What about Iraq? The KRG region is sometimes seen as more tolerant.
Generally, yes. Compared to other parts of Iraq where Christians face huge threats, the KRG is often more tolerant. But even there, Christians report discrimination. Converts face specific issues, like legally changing their children's religion on documents can be impossible. And land-grabbing illegal appropriation of Christian-owned land is still a problem.
So legal, political, and social pressures.
Exactly. And on top of all that, there's the internal identity navigation.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling caught between being Kurdish and being Christian, maybe facing questions about their authenticity or why they converted. It's a lot to handle.
It sounds incredibly complex. How do relations look between these Kurdish Christians and other communities?
Also complex, as you'd expect. There's often a narrative about general Kurdish tolerance for minorities, but that tolerance doesn't always seem to fully extend to converts from Islam. They can face societal hostility even where there's official tolerance, like in the KRI.
And relations with the older Christian groups, like Assyrians and Armenians.
That's shaped by a long shared history, cultural exchange, but also some historical grievances, especially felt by some Assyrians, though the KRG has made some efforts towards reconciliation.
And the new evangelical churches, how do they fit in?
They add a new dynamic. Sometimes leaders from the older historical churches express reservations about these newer groups attracting Kurdish converts. So the future for Kurdish Christians seems really tied up with the future of all Christians in the region and depends heavily on stability and minority rights protection.
It's a precarious situation. But despite all this, are we seeing distinct Kurdish Christian communities or leaders emerging?
Yes, definitely. Even with the small numbers and challenges, distinct communities and leaders have emerged in recent decades. We mentioned churches like Kurdsman Church of Christ in Erbil, Aqwa in Kobani, the one in Diyarbakir. These are specifically serving Kurdish converts.
Are there organizations too?
Yes. Groups like Dara Kurdi or the Kurdish Christian Church in San Diego for the diaspora. Mm-hmm. Plus, various missionary groups are active. And we can name individuals too.
Like those historical figures we mentioned earlier.
Right. Nasser the Kurthia Phobos, Ibn Adahak. But also contemporary figures like Pastor Ahmet Güvenir in Turkey or Monk Madai, the Yazidi background Georgian Orthodox monk. Even the story of Sheikh Ahmed Barzani reportedly declaring himself Christian in 1931, though it's debated and complex, is part of this picture.
It's really quite something to see these communities taking shape and finding leadership amidst such difficulties.
It really is. It speaks volumes about their resilience and commitment.
So as we wrap up, this exploration has really shown a long, tangled history, hasn't it? Interaction, assimilation, and now these new conversions in communities.
Absolutely. And the challenges these Kurdish Christians face, especially converts, they really highlight the difficult balance between religious freedom, social norms, and politics in that part of the world.
Their experiences seem like a small window into bigger issues affecting minorities across the Middle East, struggles for recognition, safety, acceptance.
Definitely. And the rise of these new Christian communities among Kurds also makes you think about how religious identity itself can change and adapt, especially in response to conflict and major political shifts.
There's clearly a lot more to understand about their specific situations, their numbers, their future. More research is definitely needed.
Without a doubt. To anyone wanting a full picture of the region's incredibly diverse social and religious makeup, understanding this piece is important.
Well, we hope this overview has given you some valuable insights and maybe has sparked some curiosity to look into it more. It's a story that's still unfolding.